We are going to learn Pirkei Avot, and we'll pick up where we left off at the end of last semester, at the end of the third chapter. But first, let's introduce our learning a little bit. We're at the beginning of a new semester. So first of all, just before Revi, we'll do the end of Shlishi. Or maybe we'll start with Revi. Okay, we'll start Pirkei Revi. Pirkei Avot are Mishnayot that teach us how to be a pious person. They don't focus on a specific mitzvah, they focus on how to be a good person, a chassid, an extra pious person, and they give us good advice for life. Now, the Mishnayot have endless depth. We are learning pshat. If you delve into each Mishnah, you'll see there is tremendous, tremendous depth and wisdom in each Mishnah. And that's why if you go online to TorahForMe.org, you'll see we have a regular class, we have a class with Rashi, we have a class with Rambam, and Be'ezrat Hashem, when we finish those, we'll go on to learning other commentaries, because the depth in Pirkei Avot is endless. I mentioned once that I started writing a book showing how the different philosophies, Kant, Aristotle, Plato, Nietzsche, you can find everything they've said in Pirkei Avot, if you only know how to learn it. You just have to learn it with depth. Now, our goal is to get a simple understanding, an overview, a quick understanding of Pirkei Avot before we go into more depth. If you wish, join us on Thursday nights, and then we are learning Pirkei Avot with the Rambam's commentary. We've been doing that for a few years now, and hopefully we're nearing the finish line. We do two or three Mishnayot every other Thursday night. But right now our goal is just to understand the Mishnah with basic pshat. So we'll begin the fourth chapter. Ben Zoma Omer. We have three rabbis in the Mishnah who are always mentioned by their father's name. They're all Shimon. Shimon ben Zoma, Shimon ben Azai, Shimon Atimni. These three rabbis died young, and so they weren't called by their own name, they were called by their father's name. Here you go. So Ben Zoma, this is Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma, he used to say the following. Ben Zoma Omer, Ezehu Chacham, who is a wise man? So you'd ask people, who's a wise man? He'd tell you, someone who's learned, someone who's learned a lot. What do we call our wise men? We call them Talmidei Chachamim, smart students. We always call them, sometimes we say Chacham, sometimes we say Talmid Chacham. Why do we stress the Talmid Chacham? Because he's still learning. Ezehu Chacham, who do we consider a wise man? Halomed mikol adam, he who learns from everyone else. You ask other people, who's a wise man? They tell you, oh, he has a lot to teach, he's a professor, he knows so much. We say a wise man is he who can learn from everyone. Shenemar, as the verse says, mikol milamdai hiskalti, I've learned from all my teachers. So a wise person is someone who could learn from everyone. He's always learning. Ezeu Gibor, who's considered a brave, powerful person. So, ordinarily you ask a person who's a brave person, someone who shows his anger, I'll show them, they'll know who's boss. We say, who's Gibor? Who's really a brave person? Who's got might? Hakovesh et Yitzro. He who conquers his own desire, he who conquers himself. We say a person, the most difficult battle is for a person to conquer himself. To fight externally, to fight others, that's something that's easier. But Yitzro, his own desires, that's something that's much more difficult. And he who can conquer that, he's considered a gibor. Shneimar, as the verse says, Tov erech apayim migibor, a person who has long-winded, he's slow to anger, he is better than a great warrior. Umoshel beruchho, and he who takes control of his spirit is better than loched ir mi loched ir, than a person who can conquer a city. Ezehu ashir, who is a person who is wealthy? You ask people, they'll tell you, oh, it's Bill Gates. This guy who's always amassing wealth. The Mishnah tells us no. What is wealth? Hasamech bechelko. He who is happy with his lot. That is how we measure wealth. A person could have a lot of money, but if he's spending his time thinking, how could I make more? How do I ensure to protect myself? His life is filled with worries. He's not happy with what he has. So what's his wealth? We say, where do you find wealth? When a person is happy with his lot. And if you think about it, then you recognize that that means any person could be wealthy. Wealth is measured based on where we view ourselves. Shenemaz, the verse says, Yegia kapecha ki tochel ashrecha v'tovlach. The toil of your hand, for you eat. You are praised and it is good for you. A person who works, he makes a living. He doesn't have to be a millionaire. But he lives off of the work he does. So then praised is he, it's good for him. Ashrecha, praised is he ba'olam hazeh. In this world, v'tovlach, and it's good for him na'olam haba, in the world to come. Chazal gave great honors to a person who lives off of his work. Chazal didn't look kindly upon a person who relies on handouts. Chazal said, get a job. The person is supposed to try and get a job, whatever the job is. Even if it's in Chazal's time, the lowest job was the guy who skinned the animals in the marketplace. That was considered the lowest job. And Chazal said, better do that than have to take a handout. And Chazal said that to the rabbis, certainly to everyone else. Ezel mechubad, who is an honored person? So we think, oh, he's the one that's getting all the honors, he's the one that everyone stands up in his honor, he's the one that he insists that you call him Mr. Rabbi, Professor, Doctor, etc. Tells us the Mishnah, Ezel mechubad, who is really honored? Hamchabedet abriyot, he who gives honor to God's creatures. Notice it doesn't say to Jews, to people, to human beings. It says to God's creatures. That encompasses all of God's creatures. Shenemar, as the verse says, Kim chabdai achabed. God says, I give honor to those who give honor to me. Uvozai, and those who deride me, God says, Yekalu, I'll make them light in the eyes of people. From the word kal. So the Mishnah teaches us that things are not the way people think they are. People think if they insist on their honor, that's how they'll be honorable. They go fight wars, that's how they'll prove they're brave. They'll show off their wisdom, that's how they'll prove they're smart. And the Mishnah tells us it's exactly the opposite. If you're always learning, you're not embarrassed to say, wait, let me hear what you have to say. I could learn something. People who are smart generally think it's beneath their dignity to hear someone else talk, because they're supposed to know everything. No, tells us Ben Zoma, you're smart if you're listening. When is a person brave? When he conquers himself, he conquers his own desire. When is a person wealthy? Not when he's running after wealth, but rather when he's happy with the wealth he's attained. When is a person honorable? When he's interested in giving honors to others. It's interesting, we were once in the hospital and there were two doctors who we needed. I asked the guys who were there, stage, what do you call that, the interns. I said, I know I need to speak to this and this doctor. Is she a professor? Is she a doctor? I don't want to, by mistake, call her doctor when she's really a professor. So the guy, the intern, tells me, she's a professor and you better not forget it. And we came in with our baby and she runs and says, right away to the emergency room. I don't know why you guys came to me. You have to go to the emergency room. Rushes us. She isn't even willing to see us. Straight away to the emergency room. Fine. So we go to the emergency room. And there's another doctor there. And this doctor takes it easy. He's talking to all the interns. And before he tells them what he thinks, he asks them, what do you think? What do you say in this case? And he sees the baby. And he says, I don't know why she sent you to the emergency room. He calls the intern. He says, what do you think? The intern listens. He says, it sounds like a wheezing, this, that. I don't know. I think, what do you think? So he asked the head doctor. The doctor says, I don't know why she got so nervous. I don't see what the problem is. To make a long story short, that baby had to undergo 6 months of treatment after she sent us to the emergency room. And after 6 months, all the experts came to the conclusion that that guy, who always asked the interns first what they thought, what he said initially, he didn't need any of the treatments. He was fine. But I saw how the interns, how much they valued his opinion, because he honored them. Before he'd give a ruling on a case, he'd call them and say, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? Afterwards, he'd tell them what he thought, and they were all interested in hearing and learning from him. On the other hand, the first professor, who insisted on being called professor, they're like, oh, okay, whatever she says, she says. They weren't so interested. That's the Mishnah. People think they'll get honor if they insist on their honor. Chazal tell us, if you chase after honor, it runs away from you. If you're running away from honor, it runs after you. But you know the joke about that. The guy comes to the rabbi and says, I've been running away and it hasn't caught up. So the rabbi says, yeah, because you're always looking over your shoulder to check that it's running after you. Doesn't that? Mishnah Beis. Ben Azai Omer. Ben Azai says, again, notice it doesn't say his name, just like Ben Zoma. This is also Shimon Ben Azai. But again, he was a youngster, and so he wasn't known by his own name, but rather he was known as Shimon Ben Azai. He was known as Ben Azai, the son of Azai. He says the following. Heveirats, run lemitzvah kala kevachamura, for a light mitzvah as you would for a heavy mitzvah. Now here there are many understandings. One understanding is there are really light mitzvot, and then there are really heavy mitzvot. A person says, I'll go and I'll buy another candy in honor of Yom Tov. That's very nice. It's a good thing. It's not such a difficult thing to do. A person says, I'll go and spend half my wages to help a guy get out of jail, to help a guy get out of Pidyon Shvuim, save a Pollard, someone else who's in captivity, to save Gilad Shalit. That's a heavy mitzvah. So one understanding is that this is really a light mitzvot and heavy mitzvot. An alternate understanding is really all mitzvot are heavy. But even mitzvot that we tend to think they're light, even those mitzvot a person should take seriously, run after them like the ones that he views as weighty. Uvorech min avera, and run away from sin. Shemitzvah goreret mitzvah, because a mitzvah tends to drag along another mitzvah. A person volunteers, when he volunteers they ask him if he could help in something else, he meets people who are busy in other chesed, one good deed brings on another. And by the same token, when a person does something wrong, one wrong thing brings on another wrong thing. He says, I'll just stay out another hour. He stays out the other hour. He stays up late. He goes to a place he shouldn't go. He sees things he shouldn't see. He does things he shouldn't do. One thing brings on the other. Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah b'schar vera vera. Because the wages of the mitzvah, aside from the wages God intends to give us, part of the wages is that God allows us to perform another mitzvah. And part of the wages for an avera, aside from the punishment one will get, is that another avera comes his way. And today I heard a beautiful explanation to this from a friend of mine, Vitkin. Avraham Ariel Vitkin told me great advice for a person who tries to stop smoking. We were in the car together and there was someone who declared he stopped smoking for 5 days now. So he told him, I have a few pieces of advice for you. Number one, don't tell anyone you stopped smoking. The second, you declare, so it's difficult. It's like, that's it, you've made a declaration. Number two is, don't think about the fight. You're not stopping to smoke for the rest of your life. He said, I haven't smoked in years, but I never quit smoking. I always quit the next cigar. The next cigarette is what I'm not going to smoke. It's not all the packs that I want to smoke. Those I'll still get to, but the next one I'm not going to smoke. Your fight is one cigarette, because the mashal, the allegory that explains this concept, you can't move a mountain. If you want to try to move a mountain, you can't move a mountain. But what can you do? You can take a stone from the mountain and move it. You can take another stone and move it. That's the way the Yetzer Hara attacks us. He tells us, one cigarette. Just smoke one. What's so terrible if you smoke one? And then the next time he also fights us on one. He doesn't fight us and say, you don't quit, you go come back and smoke 10 packs a day. He doesn't do that. He says, smoke one more. So you have to fight him using his own terminology. I'm not going to smoke one more. It's not that I'm not going to smoke 10 packs. I'm not going to smoke the next one. What about the next packs? We'll see what will be with the next packs. Well, one more I won't smoke. One cigarette you could fight. So those were two of the pieces of advice he gave, but that's this concept. You do one mitzvah, you've started a ball rolling in the right direction. You do one, it'll get you to do another one, and by the same token, one avera, it's like that first cigarette. I'm only smoking one, right? And the next one is also another one. But one after another, then becomes a pack after a pack. Mishnah Gimel, Hu haya omer, he used to say, Ben Azai used to say the following, Al tehi vaz lechol adam, don't look down upon any person. Yeah, even the lowest person, don't look down at them. V'alti maflig l'chol davar, nor should you deride anything that someone tells you. Shen l'cha adam shen lo sha'a, you will never meet a man who does not have his hour when he is important. Every person has their hour. That hour could be the smallest hour. You guys know the story in Aesop's fable about the mouse and the lion, right? Okay, so Chazal told us that story about Shlomo HaMelech and the bee. You know the story about Shlomo HaMelech and the bee? Shlomo HaMelech woke up once, he found a bee on his nose. He was about to kill the bee, and the bee said, don't kill me. Shlomo HaMelech said, what do you mean don't kill me? What nerve? What are you coming to rest on me when you're, you know I'm the king, you're coming to rest on me? The bee says, one day you'll need my help. Shlomo HaMelech said, I'll need your help? What do you mean? The bee says, wait, you'll see. And then the Queen of Sheba came, and one of the tests she gave Shlomo HaMelech was a bunch of flowers. If he could tell which one was the real flower, which was the fake flower. And the bee came along, he was standing looking at them, and the bee came, went to the real one, and that's how Shlomo HaMelech knew which one was. And then the bee said, you see, you did need me. There was once that I could help you out. There's no, so this is the same thought, that every person and every thought has their time and place. And therefore a person should never be deriding of anything, any person or any thought. Chazal gives us an example of a person who erred in this, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. You guys know the famous story, he was riding on the beach and a guy came to him. Right, we discussed this story a few weeks ago. Mishnah Dalet. Rabbi Levitas ish Yavne Omer. Rabbi Levitas, the important person of the city Yavne, he says the following. Meod, meod, hevei shval ruach. A person has to be very, very modest. Now there are two forms of modesty. There's anava and shiflut ruach. Shiflut ruach, literally translated, means a low spirit. Rabbi Levitas, the important man of Yavne, he said a person has to be exceptionally humble. Notice he uses the word me'od twice. Me'od, me'od, shetikvat eno shrima. Because the hope of humanity is ultimately vermin. That's where we all end up. So if a person only realizes where he's going to end up, so he takes things in kind, and there's no reason he should be proud. What's the difference between us? At the end of the day, we're all in the same place. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka omer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka taught, kol amchalel shem shamayim baseter, he who disgraces the name of heaven in hiding, nifrein mimenu bagalui. So God pays him back in a revealed fashion. God says, you know, if everyone thinks he's such a great guy, and no one knows what he's done wrong, so then when I punish him, no one will understand why I'm punishing him. So God ensures to reveal what he's done wrong and pays him back overtly. Echad shogeg v'echad mizid chilul Hashem. When it comes to chilul Hashem, God takes a person to task whether he was by mistake or on purpose. What's a chilul Hashem? How does one deride God's name? If people see a person wears a yarmulke and he cuts a line. So they say, oh, you see, even though he's learning Torah, look at how he's behaving. He drives in a way that's not reflective of the Torah that's within him. He speaks in a way that's not reflective. Now, whatever we do, people look at us. Now, sometimes people look at us as a Jew, sometimes people look at us as a Ben Torah. And I always say that the second you wear a yarmulke and you wear tzitzis, and especially if you have a beard, but even if you don't have a beard, you're the chief rabbi of Israel. Why are you the chief rabbi of Israel? Because to the guy in the marketplace, he doesn't know the difference. From his perspective, you're a rabbi. He doesn't know whether you are a rabbi or aren't a rabbi. He sees a man with a yarmulke, tzitzis. He sees you're an Orthodox Jew. From his perspective, they're all the same. He doesn't know the difference. So if we don't behave the way we should, so then they speak about us that way. They say, wait a second, what do people behave that way for? Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul Zatzal, he said that there was once a woman who brought her son to the yeshiva. So he interviewed her, and the woman was obviously non-observant. She had nothing to do with Orthodoxy. So he asked her, why do you want your son to come to our academy? So she said, I see your students, I see the way they behave, I see the way they dress, and I want my son to be like that. That's why I'm sending my son here. So that's the way we're supposed to behave. That's what Chazal said. Ma briyotam rotalav. If a person is proper with the way he deals with the store owner and his fellow man and his neighbor, the way he behaves, so then people say, look at what a fine person this guy who learns Torah is. I want my kids to be like that. So that's a Kiddush Hashem. And the opposite is a Chilul Hashem. Mishnah Hei, Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael says, Halomed al menat lilamed. If a person learns Torah and his intent is to teach, he wants that people should honor him. They'll call him rabbi, they'll honor him, he's their teacher. Maspikin biado lilmod ulamed. So in heaven they say, okay, that's all you wanted to accomplish, that people will call you rabbi. We'll let you get that far. You'll learn, you'll teach, and that's it. you won't get beyond that. La lomed al menat lasot. But if a person learns because he wants to perform, he wants to do the mitzvot the way he should. Maspikin biado, then in heaven they allow him lilmod ulamed lishmor velasot, to learn, to teach, to watch the mitzvot and to perform the mitzvot. They let him get as far as he wanted to get, which is the ultimate performance of the mitzvot. And here we see an interesting concept. It seems that to teach comes before to perform, which isn't the way we think it would go, right? We would think first you have to perform in order to teach. But the truth is it doesn't work that way. Very often a person just starts learning, comes into Machon Meir, and he's already telling all his roommates what they should be doing. Well, I learned you're supposed to do this way. I learned you're supposed to do that way. So that's not the way we should do things. But very often, a person can teach way before he can perform. A person learns a lot of laws and he doesn't yet perform all of them. He hasn't had the opportunity yet. And he could teach others what he's learned, and the teaching can come before the performance. But they should go hand in hand, as we learned in the previous chapter. One's performance should outdo one's learning. We learn for the sake of performing. Rabbi Tzadok Omer. Rabbi Tzadok says, Al ta'ase matara litgadel bem. A person shouldn't make the Torah a crown that's going to be his honor, that he uses the Torah for his honor. A person's not supposed to use the Torah as his honor. Velo kodom nachpovim. Don't use them as the shovel that a person uses the Torah as his form of parnasa. And that's what Hillel used to teach. Udishtamish bitaga. Whoever uses the crown, tag in Aramaic is a crown, chalaf, he passes from the world. Halamanta, so you've learned. Kola ne'enem divrei Torah notel chayav min ha'olam. Someone who derives benefit from the words of Torah, he takes his life out of the world. And we mentioned in the past the story that Chazal tells about this, that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, wasn't Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, I don't remember. Chazal teaches that the Tanaim took it literally. Mishnavab, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi teaches the following. Kol amchabed et haTorah, whoever honors the Torah. Yeah, he doesn't put down a Torah or the books of the Torah and places that are not fitting. He takes care to put it where it should be, in an honorable place. Gufom chubad al abriot, and his own body will be honored before people. V'chol amchalel et haTorah, and whoever briot, God's creations. Sorry. V'chol amchalel et haTorah, gufom mechulal al abriot, and whoever disgraces it, so he is also going to be disgraced before people. People don't value him. And again, this is an important concept. This goes back to the concept we saw earlier in the chapter, that a person who gives honor really gets honor. And here we're talking about giving honor to the Torah. One of the understandings here is that he honors the Torah in ensuring that the Torah does not go to people who don't deserve it. He honors the Torah in that he only teaches students who are fit to learn Torah. Chazal said a person is not supposed to teach a talmid sheino agun. If one has a student, he knows the guy comes into shir, and after shir he goes out and he robs banks. He goes out and he cheats in his big business practices. He goes out and he sells non-kosher food to people. Like that butcher shop, you know, they used to say basal basal. But the second bays had the bays a little cut off, so people thought it said basal kasher. It wasn't kosher meat. But that was a butcher, I saw it. I mean, the Lower East Side, there was a butcher shop that was like that. It said basal basal. So he said, I never said it's kosher, right? So Chazal said, you're not allowed to teach a student like that. A person who's an improper person, he has to first learn to be a mensch. So Chazal said that's part of honoring the Torah. Kol hom chabed et haTorah. Okay. Mishnah Zayin. Rabbi Ishmael Omer. Rabbi Ishmael says the following. HaChosech Atzmo Min Adin. If someone can save himself from going to court, Porek Mimenu Eiva, he removes from himself hatred, Vegezel, and thievery, Ushvuat Shav, and false testimony. Now, one understanding here is that he saves himself from being the judge. Because if he's going to be the judge, then the people who come to court before him might end up doing this. So another understanding is that he doesn't go to court. Why is the guy willing to go to court with you? You know you're right. He knows he's wrong. So why are you going to go to court with him? Because he's going to hate you. He's going to try to steal from you. And he might even come to swear falsely against you. So if there's any way to reach a compromise, even though the other side doesn't deserve it, you're saving the other side from doing all these sins. You see the guy's adamant to get you. So figure out a different way of getting your money. But if you're going to go with him to court and he's going to end up trying to steal the money from you and trying to take a false vow, okay, well, what are you gaining then? I once had a guy who I had a disagreement with on a monetary issue, and we were on friendly terms. So I spoke to the guy and I made a mistake. I said, why don't you go ask any rabbi? He asked me, what do you think the halach is? Am I allowed to take this money from you or not? So I didn't want to answer. I didn't feel it was fair. Why are you asking me? So I said, I don't want to tell you what I think. Why don't you take the case and ask any rabbi you know that understands monetary issues and ask them what the rule is in this case. So once before that, we used to have a sfarim store. A guy placed an order. We ordered the sfarim for him. We paid for the sfarim. And then he came back a week later and said, I already got it somewhere else. It was 1,000 shekels worth of sfarim. So we said, but the form said that it's binding. We already laid out the money for you. So he said, try to sell it to someone else. So we tried for a few weeks, and then we said, we couldn't sell. No one else wants the set. So we told the guy, go ask your rabbi. And the guy went to the rabbi, and the rabbi told him, no, you got to pay. You got to buy it. You told them to order for you. You got to buy it. So I figured it worked well the first time. I'll try it the second time. A guy comes in. Again, similar story. The guy's completely in the wrong. But he's arguing with me. So I said, you know what? Why are you arguing with me? You ask your rabbi. Find a rabbi and ask him. So what do you think the guy did? A week later, he comes back and he said, my rabbi says I'm 100% right. Now what are you going to say? Well, I'd like to talk to your rabbi. I don't understand what story you told your rabbi or what kind of rabbi you have. But there's no way he told you you're right, because I could tell you, I sat down and I wrote 6 reasons why there was no basis for his claim monetarily. Then I said to myself, who am I kidding? If he would have presented it right, then no one would have told him he's right. That's this Mishnah. The guy is intent on fighting you. He's intent on getting his money. So he's going to twist things his way. What are you going to end up with if you go to court? Eiva, hatred. Gezel, potential thievery. Shvachav, he might take a false vow. If you could save yourself from going to court, you're saving yourself from all these troubles. Vagas libo be'ora'ah. Rabbi Shmuel taught us another thing. He said if a person is too proud and he just gives ruling, the halacha, this is mutav, this is asur, he's proud and therefore he gives improper ruling, shote, he is a fool, because when it comes to giving ruling, two people are having an argument, you think you could just call the shot off the bat? Sit down and figure out what the truth is. You can't just say, I know, and give ruling. No, you have to sit down and hear each one out and question them. So if a person thinks he could give a ruling quickly, he is shote, he is a fool. Rasha, he is wicked. Vegas ruach, he is of a coarse spirit. He is a proud person. He is not fitting to give ruling. A person wants to give ruling, he has to sit down and verify what the real answer is. He is gas ruach, he is of a coarse spirit, and he is just looking for power. And here Chazal, we're giving us an extra warning. If you're going to be a rabbi or a judge, how a person should behave. Mishnah Chet. I think maybe we'll pause here. Yeah? You guys want to continue? Yesh koach. Okay, we'll continue. Who are ya? Yeah? Okay. Hu haya omer, Rabbi Yishmael used to say. And whenever we say Hu haya omer, he used to say, it means that he used to say frequently. Al tehi dan yechidi. Don't rule alone. Yechidi means singularly, alone. Now, we have a rule when it comes to giving a ruling on monetary issues. There's a concept of yechid mumche. There's an individual who everyone agrees that he's an expert. So let's say you're in the marketplace. And they had this even in Danzig, in the non-Jewish marketplaces. They also had this concept that if there was a dispute, so there was a judge, that everyone agreed he was an expert. And they'd go to him for ruling. And it was very common, even in the Sephardi countries and in the Ashkenazi countries, very often the Jews and the non-Jews alike trusted the rabbi to be an honest person. And he was considered the Yachid Mumche. He was the expert, and both sides trusted him. There were interesting cases where there were all kinds of questionable things going on. But sometimes it got to the chief rabbi, and the chief rabbi said, wait a second, this is fair or this isn't fair. But generally, everyone accepted that if a person was a Yachid Mumche, he was an expert, they could trust him, and whatever he said went. Even though he wasn't the court, he had the power of the court. So now Rabbi Shmuel gives good advice. He says, even if people are willing to appoint you as the expert, they'll take your ruling. And two people, when they have a dispute, they can decide we'll accept so-and-so, and whatever ruling he gives we'll accept. Nonetheless, his advice is, Al tehi dan yechidi, don't rule alone, she'en dan yechidi ela echad. Because there's only one who's really, it's fitting for him to judge alone. Hashem. Hashem is the only one who it's fitting to judge alone. Ve'al tomar kablu da'ati. Don't tell them, listen, Al, you guys accept what I have to say. Why don't you two both set your case before me, and I'll tell you what to do. Shehen rasha'in, because they're entitled to listen to you or not. Ve'lo ata, or ve'iata rasha'i, and you're not entitled to tell them, take me as your single expert. So a person should be humble. Firstly, it's never recommended to be that individual expert. And secondly, don't encourage them to take you on as the expert. An alternate understanding here is between three judges. One judge shouldn't tell the other ones, listen to what I have to say. Kablu dati, accept my opinion. Shein l'shein, they're entitled to have their own opinion. You're not entitled. V'li'yata, you're not entitled to tell them, accept my opinion. Let them think it through and come to their own conclusions. That's why you have three judges, not so that you convince them of your opinion, but rather that they each come to their own. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Rabbi Yonatan taught, kolam kayemet ha-Torah me'oni. Whoever fulfills the Torah out of poverty, sofo lekayma me'osher. Ultimately, he'll fulfill it out of wealth. V'cholam vatelet ha-Torah me'osher. And whoever is annulling the Torah, he doesn't really fulfill the Torah even though he is wealthy. Sofo levatla me'oni. Ultimately, Hashem says, I gave you all this wealth, and what'd you use it for? You still didn't keep the Torah. So then Hashem says, okay, then I take it all away. Ultimately, he will not fulfill the Torah, and he'll find himself impoverished. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir taught the following. Heve mima'et ba'esek. A person should minimize his business, va'asok b'Torah, and deal in Torah. People very often are always looking for a new deal, a new way to make money. Rabbi Meir says, no, minimize your business. If you could work less hours and learn more, that's what you should do. And a person should be modest in front of everyone. Sometimes a person feels like, he's just the guard, I could tell him what I want. He's just the cleaner. He's the toilet bowl cleaner, so I could tell him what I want. No, Rabbi Meir taught a person should be humble before everyone. Humility is supposed to be a facet of our nature. Supposed to be a part of who we are, irrespective of who we speak to. Ve'im batalta min ha-Torah. And if a person finds that he hasn't been learning Torah the way he should, so a person, he's learning, and he picks up his head, and he looks around, and he wonders, what should I do now? Yesh lecha betelim arbe kenegdecha. You'll find a lot of things to do aside from learning. Anytime a person's asking himself, well, what do I have to do now? The answer is not going to be, I have to learn Torah. At any given moment, when a person stops and thinks, should I learn Torah or do I have something else that I should take care of? He will have other things to take care of. Im batalta min ha-Torah, if a person stopped learning and he's contemplating, well, what should I do now? Yesh lecha b'telim arbe kenegdecha, you'll have many things opposite you to take care of. There's never a time when a person doesn't have what to take care of. So we think it's a new invention. I have to write an email, I have to call my parents, I have to send an SMS. Every generation had their bitul Torah. So Rabbi Meir warns a person. A person's attitude has to be, let me minimize my business and deal more in Torah. Let me be modest and let me not seek other things to do. That's the rule we always say. A person should try to push off all the things he has to take care of and set the time for his learning Torah, and that time shouldn't budge. The other things should budge, but not his Torah. And if a person gets into that habit now, then he'll have it later. That's one of the reasons why I want guys to think very strongly about learning at nights. The morning Seder and the afternoon Seder, those are times which you should take full advantage of now that you're in yeshiva. And then after you get a job and you leave yeshiva, you'll have to see how much of that you'll be able to fill in. But nights are things that you should get into the habit of having set times for learning at night. Most jobs don't make you work at night. So the night is a time when a person should spend part of the time with his family, but a large part of the time learning Torah, being in Bet Midrash. And that's a habit a person should get into now. During the day, whatever you could do in Beis Medrash, good. But night is usually a time when a person could learn. So a person has to set times. And the second he starts thinking, well, what do I have to take care of? There'll always be things to take care of. V'imamalta bat Torah. And if a person has worked hard in Torah, yesh sachar harbe liten lach, don't worry, Rabbi Meir says, God has a lot of wages to give you. Don't worry about it. You're still going to get paid back. Mishnah Yudalef, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov omer, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says, ha'oseh mitzvah achat, if a person performs a mitzvah, konelo praklit echad, he has acquired for himself a good defense attorney. Praklit is a defense attorney. So in heaven, our sages taught us there are angels. And there are angels that represent every mitzvah that we do. So when a person performs a mitzvah, he's gained an angel that will go in advance of his coming to heavens and speak on his defense. You guys remember the story of Rabbi Yossi HaChassid, Rabbi Binyamin HaChassid, right? He was in charge of the tzedakah, and the woman came to him. She didn't have any food, and he told her, I have no money left. He was in charge of the public fund. And she said, Rabbi, I wouldn't have come to you if I had any food left in the house. I'm a widow with 7 orphans, and we haven't eaten in days. If you don't give me what to eat, that's it. This is the last day we could live without food. And even though it was a year of famine, it was a year where there was a drought, he took the little money he had and he purchased food for her and her kids, and he took care of them till the situation got better. And then he became untimely ill. He became ill at a very young age. He was supposed to pass away, and our sages say that he was literally on the verge of dying. And then in heavens there was an uproar. The angel said, God, you created the world from one human being, from Adam, to teach the concept that every human being equals the world. All of humanity comes from one human being. That teaches us that every human being equals the world. He saved the woman and her 7 children. He saved so many worlds, for sure. He should be granted life, and he was granted many, many extra years, more than 2 decades. So when a person performs a mitzvah, he acquires an angel in heaven that speaks on his behalf. And a person who transgresses, he has acquired for himself an angel that's a prosecutor. Kategor is like koret tagar. He's calling out, no, you take him to task, look at what he did wrong. That's a kategor. Tshuva, but the concept of tshuva, the concept that a person can repent. Think about it. A guy burns down someone else's house. He comes back and says, I feel terrible. You know, I'm so sorry. I really regret what I did. It's a terrible thing I did. I wish I could make it up to you. He sheds a million tears. The guy tells him, pay up, you know. Look at what you did. So what? Hashem says, no. You regret it. You repent. You do tshuva. You come back. Hashem says, I'll take you back. So tshuva, the concept of returning, umasim tovim, and good deeds are ketris. They're like a shield that surrounds a person. Tris is a special shield that surrounds a person from 3 sides. They're like a special shield, bifnei puranut, in the face of, puranut is harm, in the face of harm. God is going to punish a person for the things he did wrong if he does tshuva and good deeds, so they protect him. Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar Omer. Rabbi Yochanan, who was the, how do you say sandlar in Hebrew? The shoesmith. He fixed sandals. He used to say the following, and we already learned the Rambam, the end of the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, he explains why the different Tanam were identified by their trades. Kol knesiyah shi'i l'shem shemayim. any gathering that is for the sake of heaven, when people gather and their intent is really for the sake of heaven, sofalit kayem, so then they'll come up with a good plan, things are going to work out well, they will be successful. V'sheina l'shem shamayim, and if it's not for the sake of heaven, people sometimes gather, they say we have to do something, and really the guy who's setting it up behind the scenes, he's looking to get even with someone. When people gather, they're not told we want to get even with so-and-so. They're told this is for the sake of this, this is for the sake of that. People always represent what they're doing as though it's l'shem shamayim. But Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar told us, the truth is, if the real purpose of the gathering is for the sake of heaven, then they'll succeed in their plan. And if it's not for the sake of heaven, en sofal yitkayem, then it will not be successful. Mishnah Yud Bet. Rabbi Eliezer ben Shemua Omer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Shemua says, Yehi chevot talmidcha chaviv alecha kishelach. A person's disciples' honor should be precious to him as his own. Chvod talmidcha chaviv alecha kishelach. And notice, he said it should be chaviv, it should be cherished. So a person has to cherish the honor of his disciple. And part of the concept is that really your student is representative of you. So think about that, he's telling us. When you have a student, same thing, a person's child, they represent you. So cherish their honor like it was yours. Uchvod chavercha, and the honor of your friend should be kemora rabach, like the awe you have of your Rebbe. The person is supposed to have honor of his Rebbe. Our sages said, et Hashem lokech atira, person is supposed to have awe of God, and the word et is inclusive. It's come to include also the one who is teaching God's Torah. So Hashem said, they're also included. Chazal asked, well, what awe is one supposed to have of his Rebbe? That he doesn't sit in his place, it doesn't contradict him. That doesn't mean exactly like the awe of God, right? So a person's friend's honor should be important, should be cherished to a person like the awe of his Rebbe. Umora rabach kimora shamayim. And the awe of Rebbe like the awe of heaven. Rabbi Yehuda Omer,